Welcome to Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom. On today's episode of Fresnolandia, we are joined by Fresno City Councilmember Miguel Arias. Welcome to the podcast.
Nice to be here.
And we're going to be diving into everyone in Fresno's favorite topic to talk about at the moment, which is the Measure P arts grants embezzlement scandal. Miguel, maybe we'll start with just the timeline of events. And how did you get involved and hear about what was happening at the Arts Council?
Well, let me backtrack a couple weeks now. On a Friday evening, we received an email communication from the city manager informing us of the potential embezzlement of city funds that were held by the Arts Council. Unfortunately, I didn't receive the email because my city password has been outdated for 2 weeks, and I had not been inside the building to update it on a city computer, which is required.
So, cybersecurity is very important.
I did not hear it directly from her the first time around. I actually heard it from the media. So media called asking for confirmation that the FBI was investigating the Arts Council and the city for potential embezzlement of public funds. And sure enough, after that phone call from the media, my phone kept on ringing all evening from other city folks outside the building and inside the building about what was potentially going to take place and what had taken place. So that's how I heard about it, from the media and from outside the building folks. And then formally on Friday night from the city manager.
And so what we know so far is there's about $1.5 million of Measure P funds explicitly that have been allegedly embezzled out of the Fresno Arts Council, but no arrests have been made. Is that weird?
It is. I think this is one of those instances where the public got wind of it before the law enforcement was able to do their jobs. And this is why so many institutions tend to advocate for top secret whenever they're victims of financial fraud, especially wire fraud that occurs. If you recall, the city of Fresno in 2020 was also a victim of $900,000 by an African prince pushing scheme. And then 2024, this Fresno Unified School District lost more than $2 million to a similar scheme of wire fraud. And those institutions for years did not make it public under this notion that it was being investigated by the FBI and there was always a possibility that the institutions were going to recover their funds. That's usually how institutions are asked not to engage publicly. There's been a dozen other public agencies in the Central Valley that have also been victims in the last few years, but you haven't heard a peep from them. They simply stay quiet, submit a insurance reimbursement request to their insurance provider, change their financial mechanisms internally, and then hope it doesn't happen again.
I was surprised at how early we learned about when this was happening on that Friday night that you referenced. Why do you think it went public so quickly?
I think there's a couple of drivers. One, it's no secret that the city folks have always wanted to keep the distribution of funds in-house versus doing it through the Arts Council. It was the arts and culture community who actually, and the public, who insisted that the city of Fresno use the Arts Council as a fiscal agent to distribute the funds and award the funds. And Fresno City stakeholders have always wanted to do it in-house. I think any public institution would rather have control and management of funds that ultimately were responsible for answering for versus relying on an outside entity that may not have 100 fiscal and finance experts and budget directors and staff in-house. And so I think for some folks, it was, I told you so, to the public and to arts and culture community. You guys insisted on using an outside group. We did, and look what happened. And for the arts and culture folks, it went so fast because they had been struggling to get their second check of their final installment in round two. So unbeknownst to us as city officials, we did not know that artists had not received their second and last 10% allocation, the second round of awards. And so it was going to be very difficult to keep this not going public, because you're looking at hundreds of vendors not receiving their second payment. And whenever nonprofits don't receive a second payment or a scheduled payment, they're pretty loud and they're pretty engaged with city officials.
Now, this came on suddenly, but there was smoke leading up to this, reporting issues and the like from the Arts Council. How was that viewed at the city?
I would say it wasn't smoke when it comes to, we had an idea that theft had occurred. Well, there was two things. One, for about a year and a half, there's been complaints from the arts and culture community about the process that the Arts Council was undertaking for scoring the applications, making those sessions public and their results public, as well as them not receiving the full funding that they thought they were entitled to based on their application. So it was around transparency of the Arts Council to act more like a public government agency for the purpose of awarding funds versus a private nonprofit. Secondarily, which this is very routine, the City of Fresno is very good about not releasing funds until it receives all the expected information up front. So Arts Council was scheduled to get their third round of funding for the round that's supposed to begin next month in the City of Fresno. And they were supposed to get that last October. But prior to us releasing, we require audited financials, bank statements, reimbursement confirmations, everything that's required. And they had delayed getting this that information to us. So the city, which is our standard protocol, is that we don't release funds until we get every single document that we're expecting from the vendor. In this case, Arts Council struggled to release that to us, and we continue to insist on more information. And I think in that transaction, that's when we discovered that they had some staffing issues, they had some reporting issues. And luckily for us, our safeguards on not releasing the third round of funding, which was approximately $7 million, didn't go forward.
Okay. Do you think there's a, because we've talked about capacity issues. Do you think the Fresno Arts Council has the capacity to do what they were tasked with?
So tell you this, they demonstrated that they did. In the first round of funding, we provide them more than $11 million, almost $12 million, because we collected, it took us a year of collecting money before we could initiate the process for awarding grants. So we ended up having two fiscal years up to $12 million for the first round. They awarded that first round with not one hiccup. Not one vendor or artist complained that they had not received the funding that they were awarded. The city had no problems with the documentation and transaction, with the audit of those funds and the confirmation that they had been distributed as it was expected in the awards process. The second round that occurred, that was approximately $5.5 million. That distribution, the first payment of 90%, also went out without a hiccup. There were about 33 organizations that didn't get a first round payment, but that was because they had not done their part and given the Arts Council the basic documentation that they require per our agreement, which is insurance. So if you don't have insurance, the Arts Council is not allowed to release any funding to you. And if you don't have all your paperwork and a signed contract, so about a third of the organizations didn't receive an initial payment from the second round for lack of documentation not being submitted to the Arts Council that the city required. And the others received all their first round payments.
A lot of there's been a lot of side conversations that have come out of this, one of them being this conversation that Jordan alluded to around nonprofit capacity and a lack of internal controls. What do those sort of safeguards look like, both on the nonprofit level and on the city level? And what do you think, if anything, was missing in the process?
So what I'll tell you in reflecting this process, the one thing that we knew up front that the Arts Council needed was more money for administrative overhead. However, the measure as written only allocated 2% of the total award money to the Arts Council for administration. The standard administration overhead is 8 to 10% for any nonprofit, including a public government agency. And in this case, we did award them some additional one-time money in return for them doing additional workshops, training applicants to fulfill the requirements, the grant guidelines. And so we did give them additional one-time money for somebody to administer money. Now, to their credit, they were able to pull off the first round and the first half of the second round without that additional administrative funding. But going forward, whether it's the City of Fresno that does it, I can assure you the City of Fresno is going to take their full 10% because our staff is far more expensive than a nonprofit staff is. And we're not going to penny pinch to not be able to do oversight. The unfortunate part of that is that it would mean less money for it to be available for awarding.
Yeah, but it'd make it more sustainable because you have those safeguards and product capacity.
But what did the safeguards look like in practice that were not observed here?
All the safeguards that we've had in our agreement were observed from the perspective of they release a first round We confirmed that all the money was awarded, that it was audited, that it was utilized the way we expected it. They released this first payment of the second round without a hiccup. And the third round of payment that was due to them in October was not released because of the lack of documentation and paperwork that the city required. So from our perspective as a city, our safeguards triggered this discovery of potential theft. And that from all we know now at this point is the Arts Council, like Fresno Unified and the City of Fresno, numerous other organizations, city has been a victim. I also want to caution us with overwhelming any institutions with safeguards that makes it impossible for anyone to actually receive money and operationalize those funds. Any system of financial checks and balances still depends on the human beings and the employees following those checks and balances. And when they don't, the ultimate question for accountability is, if it's criminal in nature, then you can do time. And we saw that in Bitwise. We had a similar situation in Bitwise where we awarded them $1 million. But in all our agreements with nonprofits, it's on a reimbursement basis after we confirm that the work's been done. And that's the ultimate safeguard for the city. In this case, we followed our process. We withheld the third round of payments, and that helped us discover that there was something going on that not even the Arts Council leadership was aware of.
So you and I were both around when Measure P was being written and built, and I remember in those conversations, there was a lot of intentionality in writing in the Arts Council specifically to administer the arts portion of Measure P, in part because that's partially the function of Arts Councils, not just in Fresno, but across California, but also because there was this fear that the city shouldn't have a role to play in deciding what art is. How do you think that this controversy changes that conversation?
I think that has a potential to open that door. And that door is Pandora's box. There's people inside City Hall that would love to be able to have veto authority over any potential awards or programming that is funded by Measure P. And if you look at our parks funds that we've distributed, it's been a very public conflict at times over what parks get fixed first. So what my fear personally is that the city of Fresno overreacts and allows politicians like myself to decide what art and culture is for a city as diverse as we are. If it does, I think the overwhelming presence of religious organizations that also operate nonprofits would result in the city of Fresno only funding Christmas programs.
I
and
could
calling
see
that artwork.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you prevent all the pet projects? Like, how do you prevent that if the city were to administer?
You prevent that by making sure that we don't have a role in deciding, awarding, or scoring the process. Or
who would then, outside of the Arts Council? Like, who has the knowledge, the awareness of the arts landscape, the capacity to think about equity in these kinds of who, other than the Arts Council, has the background to do that?
In recent days, we've had conversations with some of the original authors of Measure P. And what they outlined was the Arts Council was never intended to be the permanent distributor of those funds because they are also a recipient of funds. They also do art programming themselves and culture programming. It was envisioned that the community would establish a organization locally that would play that role of convener, of reviewer, of assessor of how they support these funds and what art and culture looks like in the city. I think what's happened in retrospect, there was so much pressure from the arts and culture community to get the money out because it was technically 2 years late that they asked us to use a current art and culture provider as well and recipient as a vehicle for being that fiscal agent. And remember too, in retrospect, Measure P was litigated. To this day, we as a city owed the advocates and the authors of Measure P more than $1 million in legal fees that we have yet to pay because we continue to appeal to every level of court systems and we continue to lose. Measure P wasn't one of those things that was just approved on Monday, effect on Tuesday. It was litigated for more than 2 years. And so the collection of the money and the momentum that was built after passage, I think slowed the arts and culture community for a bit. And I think this has become a wake-up call that they have to be fully engaged.
So when you describe this future organization, it sounds similar to an arts council.
I would say it's be an organization that's not in the job of programming.
Okay.
I tell folks a lot of that, and one of my many lessons is you can't be an advocate and a service provider at the same time. It's really hard to manage that balance. If you're going to be the facilitator and the lead voice on art and culture, then you need to step aside and not be the one applying. I'll give you one of the practical challenges that we've had since launching Measure Peace Arts and Culture Funds. We have dealt with this shortfall of people available to scoring. Who's available for hundreds of hours for free to read applications and score them, knowing that everybody knows what score you're getting and who gave you that score, especially when everyone in town is an applicant for the funds. And so the conversation we've had early on was, do we go with an outside group to come and score these applications? We got a huge pushback from the local arts and culture community. And they were very clear, don't bring an outside group to tell us what's art and culture.
I don't want a bunch of people from LA telling me what art is. No, thank you.
Then the tension is, then don't apply for money and become a scorer.
Yeah.
We are in the infancy still of the development of this art and culture muscle that for now, the same folks who are the applicants are technically the only ones available to actually potentially review and score these applications. It's what I asked the arts and culture community for grace, because they made a big deal about wanting the score sheets and the notes that each of these reviewers took and the comments that they made. And not everybody, and even elected officials, very few of us have the stomach to be attacked online on a daily basis over volunteer work.
Yeah, I'm less familiar because I wasn't involved like both of you with Measure P in the past. Are there other cities that have independent institutions? How do they, what do you both know successful examples of third parties that help administer funds?
I know in San Francisco, they also have an arts commission that oversees their public art grant making, but it's inherently controversial because it's just a controversial. And to your point, when you're in this making subjective.
How do you adjudicate decision?
Exactly. Yeah. And what is culture and who gets to represent people? These are deeply personal things. And so I think it's fraught. But I guess to that end, even before all of this happened with the Arts Council, they were under quite a bit of scrutiny from the arts community over the lack of transparency in the arts grant making process. Do you see an opportunity with this to reset the way that it's done to provide more transparency in the people?
I do. Wow. When we were in the process of withholding the third round of payments from the Arts Council, we were also renegotiating and revising their agreement to require their scoring process to be a public meeting and to require it to be a Brown Act meeting and to require the information to be public. By law, by state law, they're not required to follow the Brown Act. We were going to require them as part of our agreement to do that. Now that the city is going to bring it back in-house, we actually are also, as a matter of fact.
Is the city going to follow the Brown Act?
We are, as a matter of fact, being litigated over the Brown Act.
No.
Yes. And one of the proposals is to have the Measure P subcommittee that actually recommended approval of the last two rounds of awardees for it to be a public meeting. Unfortunately, just 2 weeks ago, prior to this becoming a public conversation on the potential theft, they had voted to not have the subcommittee be a Brown Act committee.
Who had voted?
The Measure P Commission did. And their rationale was, let's just make it ad hoc. It'll be temporarily here to year, and therefore it doesn't have to follow the Brown Act. Literally 2 days before this news broke, the Measure P Commission said, we got the request from the city of Fresno, which was to follow the Brown Act, have your subcommittee be a standing committee, and have it follow the Brown Act. And Measure P Commission said, thanks, but no thanks. We're going to go ahead and keep this as an ad hoc committee and let those members make these decisions without. They had agreed to make the meetings public, but not the documents public, which is, I think, what most of the artists wanted to see. They wanted to see what score they need to get. And I think we as an art and culture community and city have to be very thoughtful of how we engage in this public discourse, because the next round of reviewers and scorers are not going to sign up to do it over again if they get tarnished and blasted and canceled online for giving their independent assessment of you need 70,000 instead of the 150,000 you requested.
Yeah, it feels like the tension between efficiency and transparency.
The city is not a stranger to public scoring processes. And correct me if I'm wrong, the city applies for grants from like Fresno Council of Governments. Those conversations are public. There's a scoring committee. You get decided in public, but it's less public.
It's less subjective. What we're used to as a city is bidding a sidewalk improvement and give us the lowest bidder and everybody gets to see what everybody bidded. But art and culture is so subjective.
Yeah.
That for me, your sculpture might be porn and for you might be art. And that's one of the things that in my tenure, I've tried to keep us out of it, because having this debate, especially in the environment that we exist with the presidential leadership that we have, we would be engaging in a culture war every other week in public and at the expense of what?
Yeah, that's a perfect opportunity, Miguel. What is art?
Yeah. What I can tell you is I told everyone, I struggle just to match my attire on a daily basis. I am the least qualified person to dictate and determine what art is. Because
yeah.
I couldn't see it if I saw it. I do understand, and I've told people with one of your friends, Mike Oz.
He's a board member, yes.
And one of my tension points in Fresno, now me, as I think I'm very well equipped to determine that for myself. And I think that's the crux of this, right? Is we all have a different lived experience. We're the 9th most diverse city in the country. And art and culture is different for everyone. And we have to create that space, but it is going to be a very delicate balance. It's going to be an extremely delicate balance. For those who ask for transparency and existed, it also requires public accountability. That's going to be the next conversation for all of us as a collective.
Do you think what's going to happen in the interim? I know that round 3 of grants is going to have to start soon and there's going to be a new set of guidelines.
Yeah, I think in the interim is going to be pretty simple. We're probably going to keep the same scope of guidelines. Let me back up. First, we're probably going to accommodate the current recipients and give them an additional 6 months to finish their work.
So they get that final 10%?
The final 10%. And most of them got their money in January.
Right.
And the work should have begun last June. So make sure that the work is complete. Give them an extension of time. Secondly, release their second 10% payment. Third, for those who finally do complete their paperwork to the City of Fresno, make sure that they get their first and second round award. And then initiate the awards of the third round process as close to the original timeline, which was early March. So we would initiate that process. We'd have to come up with a process for outside city officials to be involved in the scoring review. And the city would simply be responsible for cutting the checks and making sure the money is used the way we expect it to use. I will share with you what I've shared with my colleagues and the city officials. We have to be careful on a couple of fronts. One is, as a city, because of a record amount of lawsuits that we've settled related to police, we are now self-insured for the first $5 million. So as a result of that, we have increased the standard for insurance requirements for anyone that does business with us. If we were to apply that same high standard to a nonprofit organization, especially these developing artists, they probably wouldn't be eligible to receive the money.
Right.
So I think we have to find a way to honor the insurance requirement that Arts Council had for them. Secondly, we have to be thoughtful about what other additional requirements we impose on them to be able to release the next round of payments to them. And also be very clear that if there's money to be made up, the decision point for the city will be to fully fund the second round. Do we take money from the upcoming third round? Or do we find money in some other...
To stopgap the 1.5.
Stopgap the money. I think that the latter will be very difficult. We're in a very difficult, tight financial year. We don't have the money that we had 2 years ago. So there isn't $1.5 million laying around at City Hall that hasn't been called for. And the last thing we would want to do is not fix a playground that was scheduled, has been bidded out, to be able to do a stopgap. And those are going to be the tough conversations for the city council.
Is there a sense that 1.5 could come back?
There's three possibilities. One is that we simply lose the money and not recover it. That happened when the city lost $700,000 and the school district lost more than $2 million. You simply write it off as a loss. Second possibility is that we recover some money by catching the person who allegedly met with the fiscal agent, in this case, the Arts Council, and there's a payout. We do require them to have active insurance, and they did. And that's always a possibility for them to file a claim and for us to file a claim to get reimbursed.
Do you feel like, are you worried that this is going to cast a bigger shadow on the arts grant making going forward and public trust in that process?
I think what I'm genuinely worried about is that we allow City Hall to declare that this is the reason why we should have 100% control of our grant making and scoring process for all grants, and that we shut that door to nonprofits. We passed that bridge during the pandemic when we intentionally asked for the help of dozens of nonprofit organizations to do vaccine deliveries, COVID testing that our city staff could not do based on restrictions, availability, or union contracts. And the community produced. Not one of those dollars of more than $300 million that we distributed was ever misspent. And my concern is that this hiccup, just the way the Bitwise hiccup occurred, would be a stain and justification for some in the building who don't want to do any business with outside groups and simply want to keep it to build up the largest city bureaucracy we've had in our history.
We conclude these podcasts each week with what we're loving this week. I'm going to go ahead and start. Are you both familiar with the Lebanese garlic sauce?
Yeah. Tom? Oh, wait.
T-O-U-M. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. But
like Mediterranean.
Yeah. Like it's almost like a garlic mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And I've always been, like, I go to the shops and they'll charge you like 50 cents for the little plastic container of it. And there's never enough. I like inhale the stuff. It's basically garlic mayonnaise. And so today I tried to make it at home. And 4 hours later, I was able to make a half cup, but I finally did it. And
is it just like a garlic aioli?
It's like a garlic aioli. So what you do is you blitz garlic and then you slowly pour like a neutral oil and some lemon juice in there until it emulsifies into kind of a quasi mayonnaise.
Okay.
It is incredible. I will give you some. You will love it. I can make from home now. Therefore, I'm going to have a health issue. So that is what I'm loving this week. Miguel, what are you loving this week?
I am loving that I'm hopefully 10 days away from having a kitchen again. We've been without appliances in a kitchen for going on the 7th week with some repairs that were necessary in our 100-year-old home. And the appliances arrived today, and I'm hoping that they're connected over the next couple of days and we can actually get back to cooking meals, because as much as I love to eat out, 2 months of it is way too much.
What is your high rotation takeout since your kitchen's being worked on?
Ooh, simple.
Yeah.
Cheap. Easy, accessible. It's Samoras.
What's your order?
Carnitas plate. That's what they're known for. The best carnitas in the valley. So right off Belmont, across the street from Roding Park. Yeah, the best part of their meal is they're the only ones in town that make homemade flour tortillas, which is a killer.
What about Adrian's? They make their own flour tortillas.
Now that's the saying. You gotta go.
The highest quality of the homemade.
Okay, I'm a sucker for homemade flour tortillas. Yeah, you know,
some people still make it homemade, but then they have a machine. You can tell by a perfect circle that using a machine versus...
You want those oblong.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Cool. Okay, so I was sick for 3 weeks with bronchitis and I'm a big baby about it. In a moment of desperation, went to get a massage on Friday and I told the guy to just beat the bronchitis out of me. And I think he did.
Is that the technical term for the procedure, beat it out of you?
I think I literally motioned, this is what I want you to do. And it was so painful. I was just on the table like, mm-hmm. And I think I was pretty bruised up over the weekend. I'm not
hacking. But you're feeling better now.
Yeah.
So it works.
Yeah.
Cause and effect, clearly.
Yeah.
Correlation is not causation here.
Shout out to amenities at the garden. You're sick, but don't get them sick. Go when you're outside of the
contagion.
Yeah, it's
true. When you're not contagious, absolutely. This has been Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom. And this podcast was recorded at Sun Stereo Warehouse in downtown Fresno. Audio editing and mixing was done by Jordan Maddox. Our lead image comes from Vaughn Ballinan. And our song comes from Stateless Rat.